We had a really neat, besides, you know, we had a few cab rides, which were really prayer meetings. Because I'm in the back, especially like the last two, praying in tongues, because they, you know, they never crash, but it just feels like they're going to any second kind of thing. And it was cool.
So while we were driving on one of these trips, my husband got a phone call, and he answers the phone, and it's a pastor that he's known for a lot of years, a minister. And he says, you know, I'm planning this trip and asking certain few people to come with, and God laid you on my heart, and I was wondering if you would pray about coming to Rome and about meeting the Pope. And so we're like kind of just sitting there like, what? It's happening right now in this cab right now. And it's one of those things we just felt like saying yes and not really knowing all God has. So we said yes. And so, you know, I was raised Catholic, and my parents would be so excited right now if they were here. I'm telling you, they'd be all over. But anyway, and I said, well, find out if the wives can go, because I don't want to go if I can't go into the meeting, you know. And so he found out, and the wives can go. So I said, okay, I'm in. The wives are gone. I'm in. So, you know what the Lord showed me was... Wait.
That's not exactly what happened. I just want to... My wife said, you know, I wanted to be a nun. Oh, yeah. And you don't even know anything about the Pope. And if you're going to see the Pope, you're going to see him with me.
I did say that. I said that. I said, I'm the one raised Catholic. I'm the one who hung out with the nuns. Every week I hung out with the nuns, went to their little place, and that's what I wanted to do, and that's what I wanted to be, but I wanted to have babies, and I knew that wasn't going to work, those two together. So God, you know, God spoke to me about it, and he said, you know what? I can't bless what you've cursed. And God, we've always blessed people in authority. We've even prayed for the Pope. And I believe God's opened that door. We've kept our heart right. Who knows what he's going to do? And it says depths in Psalm 92. It says depths of purpose and layers of meaning saturate everything you do. So there's a lot of things, I believe, going on. And all we did was say yes. So be praying for us. It's on June 10th, and it's like a two-hour meeting. And Pastor Bob, you wanted to share something about this too.
Yeah, last night as I was meditating on this, and I was so happy when I heard it, but I really felt like that the Lord was going to give Pastor Mike a word for the Pope. And so I'm going to be praying, and I don't know if he can say, thus saith the Lord, but he can do it in a prayer or whatever. But I want you to stand with me in agreement that the word is given to the Pope. And, you know, one strategic word from God can change the world. Yeah. I believe it.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. In fact, they asked, there's a kind of a protocol, you know, no selfies with the Pope and no tennis shoes and the thing. Anyways, they said you have to submit questions, and then they'll ask, the person will ask the Pope, and then he'll respond. But we're actually having the meeting, a two-hour meeting, in his private apartment. So it's kind of a neat thing. The other is evangelical, mostly all mega church guys, okay, just large church guys. But anyways, you know, you hardly ever win someone to your side by argument. And so I was praying about what question. So I submitted my question. I said, here's my question. Would the Pope please pray for us, and can we please pray for the Pope? And that question went right to the top. That's like the number one question. So there will be a time of prayer, and like Pastor Bob said.
I said, honey, pray and get the right question. If ever you need to pray and get the right question, it's now.
Yeah. Yeah. So just a chance. You know, there's almost a billion Catholics, and Jesus loves them. How many of you have a Catholic background? Yeah. So in 40 years of pastoring, I just have never had trouble with Catholics. It's all you Baptists and Assembly of God people. Just kidding. Sort of. But one thing, what had happened was the week after that, two families in our church had given Mary and I a week and a half vacation in Italy for free. And so we were going to be there that exact day, just a few days before that. But so it's one of those, you know, things. But we have to purchase a ticket. We have to stay at a certain place that's in the Vatican that's approved, you know, all these things. So it's costing, buying a late ticket and all of the expenses, about $7,000 for us to go. So what we're going to do is I'm going to take a send pastor to the Pope missions offering. And beyond that, my precious wife, because this year we didn't receive a love offering for her birthday. It was Mother's Day, and we decided not to do it on Mother's Day. And we were going to do it today. So in lieu of a love offering for Mary for her birthday, send Pastor Mary to go meet the Pope. And So if you feel led to help us with that, thank you, and we appreciate it. And if you can't give anything, don't worry about it. Just pray for us. So all we want is what God wants. That's all I ever want. And I don't go into things with preconceived notions. Okay, you with me? I don't believe the Pope's the Antichrist. I just believe he's a man that wears a big hat. Okay, that loves Jesus. So I actually have some friends that have spent some real quality time with him. So thank you for that. Go ahead, ushers, receive our missions offering. And it's cool. The Bible says the steps of a good man and woman are ordered by the Lord. And one of the things I like to say is if you keep giving God your yes, it's amazing the places he'll take you in life. Give God your yes, he'll give you his best. Give God your yes, he'll take care of the rest. Give God your yes. And so a leader is simply a believer that has said yes to God so many times, God can't say no to them. And so as a person, I began this year by saying, God, whatever you want, I just give you my yes. I don't have opinions. I'm not going to, if you say to do something, that's just what I want to do. And it's exciting where that ends up being. And, okay, if you have your notes after you've given, if you have your Bible, we'll be reading from Acts 22. My message today is you are chosen. Just turn to your neighbor and help me preach this message and say, you are chosen. I see on our pass out notes, we have a flower from The Bachelor. So I see that my staff has a sense of humor about being chosen. And I'm just so glad I don't have to watch that show. Acts 22, verse 6. Paul's sharing his testimony. Everybody say, my testimony has power. Every time you talk about things God's done for you, the same grace that made those things possible awakens for a new expression. So when you talk about how God healed you, the people that are sick around you have access to that same anointing and grace. There's power in your testimony. Acts 22. Now it happened, Paul speaking, as I came near Damascus about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. The most important thing in life is what you believe about God. And Paul was, you know, Saul of Tarsus, a devoted Pharisee persecuting the church, because he saw that as a false religion, a false expression. And yet the whole time he was being convicted on the inside. It's hard for God to talk to people that think they know more than him. And sometimes he has to get our attention. The older I get, the less I know. You all with me? If you could have heard me 30 years ago, I knew everything about the end times. I knew everything about theology, eschatology, ecclesiology, last days, amen, soteriology, salvation, angelology, demonology, pneumology, the Holy Spirit. Just ask me, I'm on Bible, the Bible. Now that I'm older, I hardly know anything. There's so much to know. Who are you? I'm Jesus. And he goes on to say, And those that were with me saw the light, and they were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him that spoke. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? Pastor Lindsay said, the whoing comes before the doing. God wants you to know him before you do things for him. But there will be a destiny that is unlocked, because the second most important thing in life is what you believe about yourself. And God will talk to you about who you are to him, and that will awaken the plan and purpose he has for your life. What should I do, Lord? And he said to me, arise and go to Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came to Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at the same hour I looked up at him, as he tells it in the earlier chapter, something like scales fell off of his eyes. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you. Someone say, I'm chosen. Yeah. He has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you've seen and heard. And why now are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. In concert, we rejoice in your word. We open the door of our tent and look at the dew of the fresh manta. We say thank you for today's bread. Give us today our daily bread. Thank you for feeding us. Thank you for meat, for bread, for milk, for life, for truth, for revelation. Anoint your servant, anoint your word, and anoint your people. Show the devil who's boss. Let freedom come. Let revelation flow. Let signs and wonders be done by your son's name. We praise you in Christ's name. And everyone said, amen. I want to talk about the fourth thing. So the prophetic word to Ananias was, God is going to manifest some things because you're chosen. And I just want to remind you that you're chosen. The Bible talks about our election, that God wanted us, God called us, that we were chosen in him, Ephesians 1:3, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in him in love, that God wanted you, refused to do without you. God loved you. He loved the thought of you. He saw in his omniscience and his foreknowledge, he saw you. He wanted you. He called you. He claimed you. Every demon in hell couldn't stop God from getting you. The devil himself couldn't stop God from finding you, anointing you, purposing you, walking in your life, revealing his purpose. You're a chosen vessel, and God wants you to feel the dynamics of that. But here's the four things he said. Number one, you're chosen to know the will of God. And I say to you that in this moment and through the rest of your life, you have access to the heart and mind of God. You can know God's will for your life because you're chosen for that task. The mystery of God and the mystery of his ways is not hidden from you. But if you ask, seek, and knock, you're going to know God's will. Call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Amen. If we seek God, we will find his will for our life. What the Bible says about this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There's one God and mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So what is the will of God? The will of God is that people find Christ Jesus and have their sins forgiven. The will of God was that Paul would amplify the telling of the gospel to not just the Jews, but the whole Gentiles, that we as Gentile people would be engrafted into the tree of covenant promise that God made with Abram. And so that was the expression of the gospel now going to all nations, because God wanted the whole world to be redeemed to him. This is the awesome thing. God so loved the world, he gave us his son. Pastor, what's God's will? Phoenix to be saved. You with me? What's God's will? Arizona to be saved. America to be saved. The nations to be saved. I don't believe there's an unredeemable person. I don't believe there's an unreachable person. I don't believe there's an unredeemable place. But as long as we have breath, we're to declare the love of God for this world and to be his hands extended, reaching out to those that need him. God wants the world to know him and why Christ came, and we have access to the will of God. Think about all the people today building their lives, their families, their businesses, their careers, seeking pleasure, seeking happiness, trying to find something to satisfy the internal vacuity, the emptiness in their soul that they can't fill. They're drinking from the wrong wells. They're trying the wrong things. They're doing all the wrong things seeking for love. But once you found Jesus, or more appropriately, once Jesus has found you, you know the meaning of life. You know the reason of life. We're here to know God, to worship God, to follow God, to serve God, to be friends with God. We have found the will of God. We're not walking aimlessly or without direction or purpose. The second thing is, he said, you have been chosen that you might know the Holy One. That's Jesus, the Just One. So we have been chosen to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is awesome, because God doesn't want just a bunch of mindless slaves. God wants sons and daughters. God has sent you a friend request. Answer back. Accept it. God wants to be your friend. 1 Peter 2:9, the Bible says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people, that you might show forth the virtues, the praises, the attributes of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I believe God not only calls people, he calls families. That there's anointings in families. And that God calls cities and God calls countries. Countries have purpose. Cities have purpose. Churches have purpose. Families have purpose. People have purpose, but generations also have purpose. And I believe we're living in the most exciting generation in human history, as Christ is ready to come for his bride. The second coming of Christ is soon, and God has reserved a special wine, a special outpouring, a special visitation for this generation that no other generation in history has ever had before. God saves the best for last. If we're the last, we get the best. Being chosen means your love accepted and forgiven. Being chosen means you belong. Being chosen means God says you're valuable. Being chosen means no weapon formed against you can prosper. Being chosen means you're delivered from the power of your past and you're sentenced into the victory of your future. Being chosen means you have a destiny. Being chosen means you have a calling. Being chosen means God has a plan for you. Being chosen means God wants a relationship with you. Being chosen means your life is not an accident. Your life is not insignificant, but you're invaluable to God. He loves you. He's for you. He's with you. And he has things for you to have and do. Being chosen means that every demon in hell couldn't stop you from finding God and from God revealing his son to you. Being chosen means you have an identity as a son and daughter of God. Being chosen means you're delivered from every heartache of life. Being chosen means heaven is your home. Being chosen means you can give God great glory. Someone say, I'm chosen. Come on, high five someone and say, you're sitting next to someone chosen. In John 15, Jesus, these are some of his last words before his journey to the cross. But here's what he said in John 15, verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, You're supposed to be a producer, successful. You're supposed to, everywhere you go, make things happen. You're a history maker. You're a world shaker. You're bearing fruit no matter where you're in, what season you're in. Even in difficult seasons, you're shining bright and bearing fruit. That your fruit should remain. Whatever you ask the Papa in my name, you can have it. He will give it to you because of my name. Jesus said, I'm changing the dynamics of our relationship. Servants do what they're told, but never know why they're doing it. See, the difference between a worker and a leader, the boss knows why something has to be done. Moses knew the ways of God, the children of Israel, the acts of God. And God says, I want to bring you into a more intimate conversation. And in this intimate place, I'm going to show you everything that Papa gives me. In fact, Jesus goes on to say, the Holy Spirit, everything the Father gives me, I'm giving the Holy Spirit. And everything I give the Holy Spirit, He gives you. You have access to it all. Think about this. A few years ago, it would have sounded disrespectful. Unholy and not reverential to say I'm a friend of God. But God is changing the mind of this generation. He's taking down the religious barriers and concepts. God wants to be your friend. He wants to walk with you, your daily friend. You can talk to Him anytime. He's with you in good days and bad days. He's with you in mountaintops and valleys. There's nothing hidden that He doesn't see. And there's nothing you'll ever do that could make Him leave your life. You've got the best friend there ever was in Jesus. And that's good news. Amen? God wants to be your friend. Thank you, God. You're my friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Come on. He calls me friend. Our former worship leader wrote that song, beautiful song. It is so awesome when God hears someone say, I can't believe they finally got it. All that ceremony, all that religious tradition where people feel that God's behind 15 curtains like the Wizard of Oz. God says, I'm parting the curtains. Come back here. You with me? When I spend time with the Fab Five, my grandchildren, They never say, Dr. Maiden, can we have a few moments of your time? No, they just run into my lap, run into my arms. We run around. They only know me as Poppy. You know with me? Pastor, all the other titles. Yet God is so many things. Jesus, He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the champion, the conqueror of Calvary. He's the day star. He's the everlasting God. He's the forgiver of your sin, the faithful one. He's the glory of God, the good shepherd. He's the healer, the hope giver. He's your Hosanna. He's the great I am. He's the justifier. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the mighty one of Israel. He's the name above all names. He's the only wise God. He's the Prince of Peace. Amen. He's the conqueror, redeemer, strengthener, truth, understanding. He's the word of life, word of power, word of grace. He's yesterday, today, and forever the same. He's the zeal of God. He's all of those things and a thousand, but He's your friend. And when somebody messes with one of His friends, look out, baby. You don't have to defend yourself with Jesus. Amen. Come on, just always remind yourself, your daddy's bigger than their daddy. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. He'll whoop them. Okay, third thing, He said, you've been chosen that you might hear God's voice. Oh, wonderful. So the Bible is the primary instrument. So you say, Pastor, I'm having a hard time hearing God's voice. Open your Bible. Let His voice come to you out of the promises of Scripture. But also as Christian believers, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He bears witness. He directs you. Amen? The stoplight. He green lights you to go forward. He stops you. He checks you with the red light not to go forward. He directs you. He gives you prophecies, visions, and dreams. He speaks your sign language. Y'all with me? God speaks to my wife through particular things, through birds, through flutes. So we're flying to New York City. And, okay.
I gotta share it. Okay. So, but first, before we share it, you know what? I wanted to say happy birthday to someone else. John Quattrini, today is your birthday. Happy birthday. And you know, like speaking about being a friend, John has blessed our church in so many ways and done so many things for our church. But the greatest thing is thank you for being our friend. So, and happy birthday. Anyway, so we're in New York. We're flying to New York, and we're just about to land. And the man in front of me looked like somebody important. I don't know. Do you ever have that sense? You know, he just seemed important. And so I had to know, like, who he was. And so, but before we landed, he pulled out of his pocket. He had these side pockets on his pants. He pulled out this flute, and he does this little tune, and he plays this little flute, and then he puts it back. And I'm like, okay, I know. I said to him, it's so nice to meet you. I know you're someone really famous, but I don't know who you are. I'm sorry. But it's an honor to meet you. I cannot believe I said it. That's the way I said it. And he said, really, he said, well, I'm Mr. Ben Vereen, you know. And if you know him, yeah, he's played on Broadway, Ben Vereen. So that was cool. Well, then we get in there, and we take a taxi. We meet Tim and Melissa. We're going to go eat. And I'm not kidding, as God is my witness, the taxi cab guy pulls out a flute and starts playing it as he's driving the taxi. I'm not kidding. I said, this is some kind of sign. I don't know what sign. I don't know what it means, but this is a sign. So I went back and I looked up all the times, 22 times in the Bible, flute or lyre is mentioned. I still don't know all what it means, okay? But it's in the Bible. The flute is in the Bible. Now get this. There's one last thing. I'm not kidding you. As we are getting ready to take off and we are leaving from Tampa, I'm sitting there and I walk a couple rows down and I turn to my left and there is a man playing a flute. Kidding. Coming and going, worshiping, I'm not sure. If you get the meaning, you tell me. I'm still praying about it, but it's a sign.
Thank you, honey. It's really true that God, like my wife will come and say, God just spoke to me. I said, how? She said, a bird came on the ledge of the room I'm praying in. It just stared at me. I said, that was a sign to you? Yes, it was a sign to me. But so the cool thing is God knows your sign language, the things that have consequence to you. You with me? So God speaks to me when I'm watching, you know, when I'm watching Stephen Curry score 45 points. I'm getting, oh, the anointing comes, huh? Yeah, praying fast, my wife says. My wife believes that you can influence the outcome of a sporting event through prayer. And, something she learned with our sons. She missed most of our sons' games because she was on the ground crying out in tongues. Fourth point is this. Everybody say, I can hear God's voice. Okay. You're ordained, you're anointed, you have access to God's voice. Fourth point is this. In a summation of all these things, that you're chosen to know God's will, you're chosen to know God's son, you're chosen to hear God's voice. He said, all of these things have a cumulative effect that you're chosen to be a witness to all the world of the things you've seen and heard. And the church has to stop praying for Jesus to come down because he's waiting for us to stand up. He is coming, but not for a slumbering or hidden or sitting or unengaged bride. He's coming for a full, glorious church that's engaged in life to the maximum degree. But so we're chosen to be a witness. Amen? Stop asking God to take you out of dark places. You with me? Pastor, I work with a bunch of sinners. Good. It's awesome when we can spend time when everyone we work at or go to school with is Christian. That's wonderful, but they don't really need you like the rest of the world does. The world needs Jesus, and you're his light. You're his ambassador. You're his hands, his feet, his heart. You carry the message of the cross in Christ. Isaiah 43, almost done. You are my witnesses. Verse 10 says the Lord, and my servant in whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. God says, I've chosen you to be a witness. Now come on, history makers and world shakers. God has an assignment for your life, and that is to change culture. We have to stop cursing the culture we're called to change. And you can't change anything you're not engaged in. So, well, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, culture is always adapting, it's always growing, it's always evolving, it's always becoming fresh. The world's waiting to see kingdom culture invade natural culture. They want to see Jesus in the arts and entertainment and education and government and media. They want to see Jesus in business. They want to see, like my son Matthew, godly business people that are changing the world. God wants to raise you up as a witness to this generation to shine. Shine, baby, shine. It's your time. It's your time. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you're going to receive power. After the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that power will make you a witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. God says, I'm going to send you all kinds of places, and everywhere you go, you represent heaven. You represent Christ. You represent God's heart, His love. You represent God's intention toward mankind. You're a history maker. You're a world shaker. You're a cultural agent, a cultural transformer, and you have to be unafraid of engaging this generation, of diving into the depths of things that are happening, because, listen to me, what God's done for you, He'd like to do for everyone in your world, everyone around you. Jesus, in John 9, He heals a blind man who had never seen, born blind. It begins with such a great dialogue. The disciples said, whose fault is it that he was born blind, the man or the parents? Sometimes the church is so busy placing blame, we never have time for the remedy of healing. And they said, whose fault? Jesus said, nobody's fault. He said, the world's imperfect. He was born blind so God could show glory through him. Amen. The things that are problems to the world are opportunities to the kingdom. They're opportunities. So anyways, Christ heals the man, and then there's controversy because he's healed in the Sabbath, and all kinds of things happen. And the Pharisees, there's religious persecution against him. And the man answers in John 9:25, he says this, whether he was a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I can see. Listen, you don't have to know the whole Bible. Like I said before, people are rarely won to Christ by theological argument. But here's what wins them. Tell people what Jesus has done for you. Tell people what Jesus has done for you. Part of my assignment this past week was with pastors. And it's ministering to pastors. So many pastors are hurting, going through difficult times, and just loving on them. But when I go places, overseas and stuff, and talk to leaders, they're all hesitant. The hardest group in the world to preach to is our pastors and leaders. But I just tell them my story. I tell them about a massive failure. I tell them about being depressed, about public scandal, about someone stealing $20 million from us. I tell them all that stuff. I get everybody's attention. You with me? Because I tell them, I thought it was over then, but Jesus said, Michael Maiden, your story is not over. And he's made me a sign and a wonder to the city. And it's all him. It's all Jesus. But I love to tell the story because nobody can take my story from me. You with me? Had a person come to me, this has been a few years ago. They said, Pastor, I don't know about the speaking in tongues. At my church, we thought it was from the devil. And what do you think about it? I said, Pastor, I don't believe in healing. Well, just last week in Adelaide, Australia, we prayed over a woman who was born with cerebral palsy that had never known a day without pain, had 9 operations, had never run, never leaped, never walked without assistance. And at the end of the service, for 1 hour straight, she was jumping up and down at the altar, completely healed, completely pain-free. A notable miracle from Jesus Christ. Last week with Pastor Tim Hall, I just heard about a woman getting out of a wheelchair. So God does signs and wonders. A person with an experience is never at the mercy with a person who only has an argument. We are anointed by God to share our testimony. Your testimony is power. Amen. You don't have to explain the intricacies of eschatology. You don't have to know who the Antichrist is, the beast, the mark of the beast, the false prophet, blah, 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 blah. Just tell them what Jesus has done for you. I once was blind, now I see. I once was lost, now I'm saved. I once was broken in depression, but look what the Lord's done for me. Your testimony is power. Tell the world what Jesus has done for you. Come on, stand your feet and give God a shout of praise. Someone shout, Jesus! Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for miracles today. For healings. Prayer team, join me at the front, please. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Lift your hands to heaven, everybody. In these closing moments, just let God download heaven to you. Thank you, Jesus. You can have it. Beautiful. Come on, lift your hands down.
Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on. This heart that is now yours.
Oh, so beautiful. Sing that. You can have it all, Lord.
You can have it all, Lord.
Every part of my world.
Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on. This heart that is
oh, I love that. Come on, sing that a couple more times. Give it all to Him this morning. Come on, give God your yes. Come on. Lord, I pray for every person here who's hurting. I pray for every person here who doesn't know you yet. I pray for every person here who's been away from you. I pray for those that need miracles today, healings. There's nothing outside of the reach of your grace. There's nothing you can't do. So Lord, thank you for bringing those that don't know you to you. Thank you for bringing people that have been away back to you. And thank you for bringing their hurting to a healing season. In the name of Jesus, I bind the devil. I bind infirmity. I bind cancer and deadly diseases. I break the curse of premature death. I loosen God's healing power. In the name of Jesus, listen to this word. I command disease to leave this stage. And every person on this stage with a physical infirmity, I command that infirmity to leave in the name of Jesus. Every one of you. In Christ's name, man. Woo! That just happened. If you need prayer for any reason, if you've never found Christ and never known the joys of forgiveness of sins, today's your day. Say yes to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. If you've been away from God, make this your homecoming day. Give God a chance for a new beginning. If you are physically hurting, physically need a healing, make this your healing day. Or if you're going through emotional trouble, trial, a storm, let Jesus calm your storm and bring peace to your world. You need a prayer for any of those reasons or any other reason to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on, for you that need prayer, if you brought a friend that needs prayer, be their friend. Come on, you can have it all. You can have it all. Have it all.
You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world.
Maybe some of the staff can help me pray for folks. folks down front too.
Take this life and breathe on.
This heart that is now. Come on, sing it a couple more times while those that are coming for prayer come forward. You can have it all, Lord.
You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on. This heart that is now yours.
Thank you, Jesus. Hey, just put your hand in your heart, would you? There's no part of your life God doesn't care about and God can't affect. Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I pray any place in your life where there's brokenness and hurt, that the love of God, the Spirit of God rushes in, brings healing and life to you today. Just keep touching your heart. Sing that song one more time. You can have it all.
You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. This heart that is.
One more time, you can have it all, Lord. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
You can have it all, Lord.
God, for you.
Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on.
Mary and I love you. You're an awesome church. Have a wonderful afternoon. Come back for water baptisms tonight. Great time of worship.